interfering with their little thing of religion. Brother Alvin's talking about the religion. So that's where we left him last time. And look in verse number 23. It says, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, that's Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for the good testimonies and the good music. And, Lord, we praise your name tonight for what you do for us, what you have done for us. Now, I pray now you just get honor and glory through the preaching, through the word of God, and we will just thank you, and we'll give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Amen. Well, I want you to look at this, as we said tonight, as we're going to look at this. We're just going to call it Paul Preaches On. I mean, that's what we're looking at. Paul preaches on. Here's Paul, and this is all he knows to do now. I mean, the Apostle Paul has come to the place in his life where he realizes the only thing that matters is preaching Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, this is the same Paul that says over in the book of Philippians, he says, "For me to live is Christ." I mean, he said, if I live, then my life is all about Christ. He said, and my life, he said, if I die, he said, well, it's a gain. It would certainly be a godly gain. But he said, but nevertheless, while I'm living, I'm going to preach about Jesus. Amen. And he says in that same writing, Philippians, he said, which is needful for you. So Paul understood that preaching was where he was. I mean, that's what God wanted him to do. Now, Paul could do and had done a lot of other things. I mean, we know that he was a craftsman in building tents. We know that he was an educated man. We know that he knew a lot about Old Testament scriptures. He had studied, been a good student. He was a wise man. I mean, there's a lot of things we could say. But right now, Paul said, the only gear I want to get in is preaching gear. Amen? And he's ready to do that even as he arrives here at Rome. Paul has arrived as a captive, as a prisoner of the state of Rome. But, you know, when I look at it and I see, I just don't see a man here that looks too much like he's in prison, does he? And can I tell you, God was good to him. God did some things for him. You saw here in the very last part of this, these last couple of verses, it said that Paul dwelt 2 years, 2 whole years, in his own hired house. I mean, when we got this thing started and when they got into Rome, it said that Paul was allowed to have some leeway. I mean, in verse number 16 of this same chapter, when we came to Rome, Luke says, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Paul now has a place that is basically like an apartment, maybe, or it's probably a rented house that he goes to. And he is trusted that much. He has been given that much grace by the grace of God. He's given that much liberty by the hand of God. And why? So God is going to use him one more time, even in this state of being a prisoner of the state of Rome. So God's still working in his life, okay? I want you to notice, as you begin to look at these last few verses, and you'll notice this first of all, that Paul, preaching, he declares some things through his preaching. Paul declares some things through his preaching. Listen to what it says there in verse number 23. And when they, now the Jewish people, had appointed him a day, there came many unto him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Can you imagine that? Paul had a steady flow of people coming to where he was. And they wanted to hear what he had to say. Now this indicates rather much to me that it is the Jewish people that are coming to hear Paul. You remember I told you there's probably 40 to 50,000 Jewish people in the city of Rome at this time. Big Jewish community. And as they are there, Paul has challenged them out of the Word of God to hear what it has to say about Jesus Christ. And as he begins to tell them that story, look what it says that he did. He did three things that it says he did in verse number 23. It said that to whom he expounded. He expounded, and what that means is he took the scriptures and he preached to them out of those very words that they knew so well. He preached to them about Jesus. If you'll look at that, it said, to whom he expounded. Go over to the end of this sentence, and you'll see it says, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning to evening. Oh, Paul is here. He's preaching to them out of the Old Testament. Remember, he's writing much of the New Testament. And some of the other things, the Gospels, and obviously this book of Acts has not been written. Paul has not written Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. He hadn't written any of those things yet. And because of that, all he's got to work with is the Old Testament. But you know what he's doing? He's picking up his Bible, and he is expounding the Scriptures to them. He's telling them, out of the Old Testament, I mean, he is showing them the things that God said about the very situation that they were living in. So he's expounding the scripture. And we talk about in our day what we do here, what we have done with the book of Acts is called expository or expounding type preaching. What that means is you take verse by verse and you go through it, and as I like to say, it's like pulling apart a piece of chicken. You know, you take it and you pull it into smaller pieces till you can get it where you can digest it. That's exactly what Paul did for them out of the Old Testament scriptures. And he'd say, here's what this says. Let's look at it. And he would expound to them and say, it's talking about Jesus. Amen? It's talking about. So he expounded the scripture. Second of all, the Bible says not only did he expound it, he testified about the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is you know, somewhat of a little mystery. I think sometimes when we talk about the kingdom of God, a lot of people are thinking about the kingdom, the millennial reign that Jesus is going to have one day in the 1,000 years. That's part of it. But Paul said also part of it is this, that the Lord came to save the Jewish people first and then the Gentile. He said, but I'm here to declare, because what did Jesus come? Jesus came and said, I'm preaching to you about the kingdom. If you look at a lot of the things when Jesus preached, he'd say the kingdom of God. If you look in the book of Matthew, and if you understand Matthew, Matthew is written mainly to the Jew, and in that Jesus says the kingdom of God is likened unto, and there's so many things that Jesus talks about there that the kingdom of God is like. Well, that part of that kingdom of God is not just when he comes to rule and reign over the people of Jerusalem and Israel. That's part of it. That's a big part of it. But hey, to get there, you got to get saved, and the kingdom of God includes salvation and the preaching and teaching of salvation. So Paul, he didn't just expound the scriptures, he got a little word testimony in there too. Amen. I like it when people testify about what God has done for them, about what God is doing for them, about how God has shown them some things. And that's all Paul is doing. Paul said, let me give you a little word of testimony. And my testimony is Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is the Messiah from the Old Testament. Jesus is who y'all be looking for. So he was testifying. He expounded the scriptures. He testified. And then if you'll notice it, it said, and testified the kingdom of God. Look, persuading them concerning Jesus. He was persuading them. That word persuade means to induce someone to believe your viewpoint. Do you know that you get persuaded every day? Oh, every day somebody's trying to persuade you. Turn that TV on, you know what they say? You deserve a break today. Amen? Burger King, you rule. I mean, they're trying to persuade you, right? You go, oh, look, man, there, you need to drive a new Chevy. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, isn't that, they're trying to persuade you. All day long, you watch television or you look at magazines or articles or listen to your radio or whatever, they're trying to persuade you that whatever they've got, whatever they have to sell and whatever they're pushing, it's the best. Listen, Paul said, let me persuade you that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. Can I tell you, hey, you and I ought to be persuading folks, amen? If you go over in the book of Ruth, I'll just throw this in here. I hadn't thought about it till right now. If you look in the book of Ruth in chapter number 4, and you see that Boaz goes to that man that is a closer kinsman than him to Ruth. Do you know what he says to them? I thought to advertise thee. Go in there and look at it. It's the only word, only time in your Bible the word advertise is used. Amen? You know what he's advertising for? He said, I'm advertising for that woman to be my wife. And if I can persuade you in any way, you got first shot. But if not, hey, the persuasion's over and I'm taking her. Amen. And that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happened. You remember the story. But he said, I thought to advertise thee. Amen. Hey, we need to advertise Jesus. Do you know that? We need to get out on the streets. We need to get out in every corner. We need to get out at the job. We need to get out in the community. We need to get out at the school. We need to advertise for Jesus. Amen. Paul said, I thought to persuade you. He was going to persuade, to induce them to believe. And it means in that persuading that he does, you've seen some that are better at it than others, right? That are better. I mean, there's some of them come on, and they look so greasy and so slimy, and you think, I ain't buying nothing from them. Amen? I mean, just look at that. And I've seen people, and I thought, my, they should have picked somebody else to do this advertising. But, man, they get some on there. And, I mean, boy, they're dressed right. They're tall, and the men are handsome, and the women are beautiful. And, I mean, it's just like, ooh, whatever you got, honey, I'm buying. Amen, right? I mean, isn't that it? Come on, y'all, shake your head like that. I mean, we get sold some of those things. And you know why that is? Because they have a convincing way about them. Amen. I tell you, I don't know why I'm getting into all this, but I hate to go buy a car sometimes. Because there are some car salespeople out there that are pretty good at their job, and they're going to convince you, get in here, smell that leather. Oh, yeah. I said, woo, don't you want it now? Here, we got the keys right here. Oh, look, I want you to notice everything, you know, all in there. Open the hood. Look at that engine. Boy, there ain't nobody got an engine like it. Go over and kick those tires. Man, them brand new tires, the best they are. You know, they tell you all this stuff, and they're trying to persuade you. Paul has the power of persuasion. Can I tell you what it takes to have that power of persuasion like Paul did? Sometimes, and I believe Paul had it, you've got to have a confidence in what you're selling. You better be confident in whatever you're presenting. I won't say necessarily selling. Whatever you're presenting, you better be confident in. Aren't you glad you got some confidence in the Lord Jesus that saved you? Aren't you glad you can recommend? I want to recommend Jesus to you. Paul said, let me tell you about the Christ that saved me. And they'd say, oh, Paul. You were like us. You were one of us. He said, yes, but he came to me and he changed my life and he brought me out of that religion and now I'm saved. Amen. Paul began to try to persuade them with a convinced attitude, a convinced heart. I mean, here it is. He said, I want you to know you can count on him. You can rely upon his word. You can trust in what he's got to say. Amen? Hey, that's how you get somebody and you persuade them. And that's exactly what Paul was doing. He wasn't making it up. He wasn't trying to be a salesman of any sort. Brother, he was convinced himself. And because of that, he had traveled all this travel. He had braved all the things that he had braved. He was here in the jail. And thank God, you know what he's doing? He said, I still won't tell you about Jesus. Well, Paul, you're crazy. You're chained up to a Roman centurion or a Roman soldier. And he said, I still won't tell you. I've already told him about it. I'm going to tell y'all now. Amen. I mean, that's what he's doing. He's persuading men to Christ, okay? So, look secondly, if you will, though. Notice this. Not only does Paul declare some things through his preaching, Paul will divide some through his teaching and preaching. Do you see that? Look what it says. In verse number 24, it said, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And you know, that's the same way that it is today. There's some people who are going to believe, some not going to believe. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And after that, Paul had spoken one word. And then there's a quotation given there from the book of Isaiah in chapter number 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul quotes that scripture. And we'll look at that in just a second. But I want you to notice, Paul says that there's going to be some division because of preaching. There's going to be some division. Can I tell you, preaching divides. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, do not think that I have come to, put everybody together. I haven't come to bring unity. I came to bring division. Can I tell you, when it comes to Jesus, he will bring division. It divides houses. It divides families. It will divide community. It will divide, because let me tell you, you're either for him or against him. Amen? Amen? And in my mind, that's division. And it says here that some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. Now, I don't know, and I'm not sure that it means when it says some believed, they believe the things that Paul said. This, not necessarily that they were saved. I don't know that. They might have been. And I would say probably some of them were. But I'm telling you, it caused a division. Because it says, look, in verse 25, when they agreed not among themselves. They got to talking about it themselves. And they said, well, I believe what he said. Well, I don't believe that at all. I want to tell you what I think. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and they get to fussing and bickering among themselves. Hey, that's what the Word of God will do. It will come. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring a peace. You know what he said? I came to bring a sword. And a sword's going to cause some division. Let me just clue you in on that. So there is a division, and it is the division because of the preaching. A division because of the preaching. Not only that, I want you to notice that there's a decision here that happens because of the division. Paul says, because of how you're responding, what you're saying, he said, let me tell you one more thing. Paul says, let me get in the last word. And he begins to quote to them. He said, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah. Again, that's Isaiah, the prophet, under our fathers. This is a quote from, as I said, Isaiah chapter number 6, verses 9 and 10. And he said, go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Let me tell you something about this little verse right here, or these two verses actually, verses 9 and 10. Must be something pretty important in your Bible. Why do I say that? Because let me tell you, this Bible verse is one of the most quoted in your Bible. You'll find it 6 times quoted in the Bible. 6 times. It's found in Matthew, it's found in Mark, it's found in Luke, and it's found in John. And Jesus speaks those words at that time. Then you find it here in the book of Acts. And Paul said, if that ain't good enough, let me give it to you one more time. He says it in the book of Romans. 6 times these scriptures are, and you know what the scripture's about? It's that people are hearing, but they're not really hearing. People are seeing, but they're not really seeing. People don't understand, won't understand, and really don't care to understand about the gospel. Can I tell you, that's the day we're living in. Do you see what he said? He said, verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. That little phrase, waxed gross, is one word in the Greek, and it means you got fat. Amen? That's what it means. It means to fatten or thicken. And when you do, it has the idea of something getting so plumped up and so fat that, you know, it's just like something will bounce off of it, doesn't do any good. Amen? He said their hearts have gotten so full and so fat and so thick that nothing seems to penetrate it. Their ears are dull of hearing. It's just like when you talk to them, it's just like, blah, 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 blah. Remember Charlie Brown's teacher? That's what it sounds like to some people when you try to tell them about Jesus. Amen? He said their ears are dull. Their eyes, they've closed them. They've just, amen? I mean, it's like, well, you can tell me all you want to. I ain't listening. I ain't seeing that. I'm not paying any attention to it. And because if they should see with their eyes and hear with their ear and understand with their heart, then they get saved. And do you know that's what it takes? You've got to open your ear. You've got to open your eyes. You've got to open your heart. And, buddy, when that word hits you just right, you'll believe every bit of it. There'll be no doubting about what it means. So here's the decision. I mean, here Paul talks about this scripture, and he says, look, this is something that was refused by your fathers, those before you. And now here you are repeating that same error. Amen? And then notice this. Not only notice the destination that Paul talks about of the preaching, since they have decided that's what they want, is they don't want the gospel. He says in verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Amen? Hey, you know what that means? Praise God for me and you. Amen? We got in on this thing. Let me just tell you this real quickly. And when you read this at the end of this book of Acts, we're leaving Paul, and it says he's in this place that he's in for 2 years, okay? And we don't know. I'm going to say that. We don't know absolutely. But church tradition has been that Paul was released by the Roman government after these 2 years. That's church tradition. That's been church teaching. That's been church thought for years. Some of the folks from days ago said that Paul was released from this prison. Now, that's hard to believe, but I mean that's what, and it's believed that he went back to visit with the Ephesians again. He visited Ephesus. He visited some of the other places where he had established churches. And the thought is that he went back to the Macedonian area, back where nowadays Greece is in that area, and that he went on, if you'll notice somewhere along the line, I can't remember exactly where it was, we touched on it, that he wanted to go to Spain. And the idea is, or the thought is, that he got that opportunity and went to Spain eventually. And some folks have said they thought he might have even went to the United Kingdom, to Great Britain. Don't know any of that, but that has been asserted and talked about in church history days gone by. And he did come out of his dwelling here after 2 years, after about a year or two after this. After this time had ended, Paul is out preaching and, you know, trying to get folks saved. And then Nero, the emperor of Rome, loses his mind. And he burns the city of Rome. You've heard that saying that Nero fiddled while Rome burned. If you've ever heard that little thought or that heard that in school or wherever. Well, I mean, essentially that's what happened. And the historians say that Nero burned the city down. And he just lost his mind. I mean, he just went crazy. what he did in the end of that, after the city of Rome burnt, he blamed it on the Christians. He said, it's that bunch of Christ followers' fault. They instigated. And the head of that bunch is Paul. And he called Paul, or they went back and recaptured Paul, brought him in, put him in a prison cell for another period of time. And it is, again, we don't know everything about it, but it is thought that it's during that time that he wrote 2 Timothy. When he said, Timothy, chapter 4, finished my course, kept the faith. He said, I'm at the end of everything right now. He said, and I'm getting ready. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, but I want you to know the Lord has been good and faithful and has blessed me. And if you read through that book of Timothy, there's nobody else that seems to come and hang in with Paul, maybe like some of these other folks did at this time. But the only one that he said, only Luke is with me. And he tells Timothy, bring the parchments and bring some clothing and bring, you know, he's got a few other things. He said, by matter of fact, go by and get John Mark and bring him. I want to talk to him one more time too before I'm gone. Amen? When you begin to read all that. So that's what they believe is going on. So what I want you to see about that is that, you know, Paul was intent on getting the gospel out to the Gentile nation. And it looks like he's done a pretty good job of it through what church history tells us. Now, again, I can't tell you concretely and absolutely and show you something. We have some things written here, but there's some things that are left that we just don't know about. We know he's here for 2 years. But let's look at one last thing, if you will. I want you to notice that Paul dwells in Rome, and you know what he does right there? He just keeps on preaching. Amen? Here it is. It said, verse 29, when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and they had great reasoning among themselves. They went back, and they kept on talking about this because it really got in their hearts. And that's exactly where we want it to get in people's hearts. You tell them, and it'll get in. Brother Alvin, when he was testifying, you know what that got on him. You say, well, the preacher and the other things that went on. I'm just telling you, sometimes it adds up and it piles on and it gets in. And you don't know, I don't know, what you've said, how you've behaved, what song you sung, what little testimony you gave. You don't know what that did to somebody else's heart and life. You don't know. So you know what that means? Keep on doing it. Keep on telling it. Keep on being that at home. And keep on doing that in the public and at school and wherever you are. Keep on telling them about Jesus because it'll get them. Amen? I believe that's exactly what happened to Paul. He never really comes out and says that. I'm telling you, I think God was loading his wagon all along. He was lashing out. He's putting people in jail. He's killing them. But all the while, there's something down in here is eating away at the inside of Paul. And it finally came to a head on that road to Damascus. And the Lord saved him. Amen. And everything changed, right? So here in the end of this, as we said in verse 30 and 31, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, and with all confidence, no man forbidding him. I want you to notice some things here Paul has an open door policy. Paul has an open door. First of all, notice Paul's open door of welcome. It said, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Anybody want to come by? Y'all come on back. You know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Jesus. How about that? Amen? Y'all sit down here and I'm going to tell you how Jesus saved me. I'm going to tell you what the scriptures say about Jesus. I want to tell you what the Lord can do in your life. How that he died. How that he was buried. How that he rose again on the third day. Let me tell you about Jesus. Amen? He had an open door. But if you come in the open door, man, you're going to get preached to you. Amen? It said, He had this place, his own hired house, and he received it. Isn't that amazing? Now, if I come to your house, you know what I got to do? I got to do whatever the house rules are, right? Amen? You ever been in somebody's house? Been when a long time ago, we kind of had a rule. Long time ago, it's been, I don't know, probably 40 years ago. And people come in the house, and there was just no smoking. I mean, that was just our rule, you know. There's no smoking. Well, there's a lady came in one night, and I knew she was a smoker. And you can tell sometimes, get the heebie-jeebies, and, you know, gotta have a cigarette. Well, she was sitting there, and I love to just devil her and bother her anyway. And I said, you need a cigarette? I said, you want to smoke? I mean, you can just tell, can't you? Anyway, she said, I would. I said, well, there's an ashtray over there. And there was. There was an ashtray in our living room, one ashtray. And you know what was in it? The Ten Commandments. Amen? It was one of them little souvenir things that Judy had bought somewhere we were. She bought that. Well, it was an ashtray. I mean, you could buy anything else, but it was an ashtray. It was sitting there, and I said, she said, there ain't no way. She said, I cannot dump ashes on the Ten Commandments. I said, amen. How about that right there? You got to smoke, go outside. Amen. But, you know, isn't that amazing? Whoever's house you go into, Paul said, here's the rule. You come on in, but we're going to have preaching when you get here. Amen. It's going to be like this. It's going to be something exciting, and it's going to be about the Bible, and it's going to be about Jesus. You know, that ought to be the house rules down at the church house, too. Come on in. You're welcome. But we're going to preach Jesus when you get here. Amen. So Paul had an open door policy about the open door for welcome. He also had an open door policy about his speaking. Look what it says. He received all who came unto him. In verse number 31, said, what was he doing? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've said, he had an open door policy. Come on in. Anybody that wants to, come on in. But when you get here, hey, my speaking is going to be wide open. And I'm telling you clearly, plainly, and beforehand, here's what we're going to talk about. Amen? I've been around people before. You ever been around? And they would say something off color or out of character or whatever you want to say. And they say, well, pardon my French. You know, they say a word that just, you know, they shouldn't have said. And I look at them and I say, that wasn't French. It was English. I got it, okay? But I sure don't want to hear it again. Amen? Amen. I'm just telling you, Paul had an open door, and he was going to speak what he was going to speak, and it was going to be, as I say, about the Lord, about his teachings, and about his. And then, last of all, notice that he had an open door policy that had no hindrances. Look what it says. It says, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. I'm amazed. I mean, the soldiers were there. The government was outside. And they said, go ahead, Paul, just whatever you want to do. Boy, isn't it amazing that it's getting a little closer in our day to where you can't? I mean, we don't want to hear that. You can't do that out in the public. Now, listen, I'm not going to get all political and get excited about some of these things. But there was something that happened over the weekend that was a shame and a disgrace to our nation. Amen? And I just want you to know, brother, that your Bible still tells you, that righteousness exalteth a nation. Amen? That's what will exalt a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Amen. If we want to delve into sin, wade into sin, be knee-deep in sin, we're in trouble. Amen. And we're probably already in trouble, but it'll just get us further and further into that trouble if we're not careful. Amen. Well, we have reached the end of the book of Acts. And you know, as I was saying, when you do an expository type preaching and expound the scriptures, if you've been here with us, and most of you have been here most of the time, not all the time maybe, but you've touched every verse in the book of Acts. You've touched 28 chapters. You've touched hundreds of verses. And, man, isn't that amazing that God has blessed you and let you look at every one of the verses from the book of Acts. Amen? Now, I know it's taken us a while, and I understand that, but let me just tell you this. Praise the Lord. Hey, he's good, and we We're going to go further, and we're going to get into some more stuff beyond this. And we're going to talk a little bit about talking to folks and talking with them about being saved after this. Okay, that's where we're headed next. But you made it through the book of Acts, and I just want to applaud you and thank you for all of that. Those of you that's been there with us on Facebook, so you've been there the whole time, God bless you. You've got to hear the book of Acts, and that's a blessing. That's a great thing for all of us. Brother Ronnie's going to come. We're going to sing a verse of a song. If you need to pray about something this